What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Colin Kaepernick, San Francisco's 49ers quarterback, refusal to stand for the national anthem has spurred a national debate. His protest called attention to police brutality and racial injustice in the U.S. Many accused him of thumbing his nose at America but not being patriotic. Others praised him for taking a principled stand. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me, I have students from Sale High School. They are here to share their perspective and experiences and tell us what they think. Gavin Dunsby, ninth grade, enjoys playing the ukulele and reading and watching movies.
Hello.
Connor Mack, 12th grade, cooking, theater, and reading. Those
Hi.
Are her things. Reed Worrell, Reed is into reading, writing, and acting.
Glad to be here.
And Savannah Burris, she's in the Cats and making bath bombs. Right?
Hi. Yes, that's right.
Well, welcome to 411 Teen. I'm really glad to have you all here. I wanted to get your take on this particular topic. The debate over Kaepernick's actions raises some questions. Why did an athlete's refusal to stand for the national anthem spark such an intense debate? What do you think caused it?
Well, if it was like a baseball star or, you know, something like that, it wouldn't have been nearly as big. But football being our, like, primary sports and a sport in the United States, it's like it makes it a whole, like, lot bigger than it should really be, because it's that's what's in the limelight with mm-hmm. us. You know, if so with it being, you know, a football star doing something like not standing for the national anthem, like, you know, it's gonna offend people, because like a lot of people think that no matter what, you should like respect the flag, like respect the national anthem, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely that he was somewhat in a position where many eyes were on him. Football is a big source of entertainment. It's a very big position to be in. And yeah, just how he's using his position, some would say, I guess, at the wrong point to be taking, or in the wrong place to be having a protest.
Mm-hmm. Connor, where do you sit on this?
I'm not really big into football. I think that as a athlete and for football, nonetheless, he's a very big public figure. And I know that, especially lately, people have been kind of getting really annoyed by protesting. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of our basic rights. But people go, oh, you shouldn't do this because it's wrong, or I don't agree with you, blah, 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 blah.
I think the problem is in the way that they are protesting. Like, I know there was recently one thing where a bunch of protesters were blocking a bridge for some kind of protest against Donald Trump or mm-hmm. something like that, I believe.
Or Chris Christie.
And there was an EMS trying to get across the bridge, and they couldn't get across, and a patient died because a lot of people are in the way. And, yeah, I think there's a fine line between obstructing, you know, public services and, like, making your point heard.
Okay.
You can make your point heard without being a jerk about it, but I think he has the right to express his beliefs. I certainly think that there is definitely something for him to protest about.
Yeah.
And I don't really see why people would be that upset by it. It's not like he spat on the flag or anything. He just didn't stand up while they were singing the national anthem.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's like why it's how I don't want to stand so up. Big is because sports is pretty much like one of the only things in America or in any country where it's not that political. And adding pots, like, it's where you can unify people without getting political. And by adding politics in it, what you may be like being praised by others, but you're offending, and you're creating a division within a thing that otherwise people would be all like have some unity in.
Well, what was your response when you heard this, when you first became aware of what was going on? How did you feel? What kind of response did it elicit from you?
I personally didn't really think much of it because, you know, people have the right to protest. Like, that's one of our basic things is we have the right to protest. If that's how he's choosing the protest, okay, cool for him. What got to me was the fact that people were upset about the fact that he was protesting in the first place. And like I said, it's like that's one of our basic, like, rights is the right to protest. And people were getting mad about it. And not even over what he was protesting. They were not getting upset about the topic of what he was protesting. It was just the fact that he was protesting something.
I think that's a big problem, too. But I don't know. I'm really in the middle about this. I've talked about this with other people, too. Mm-hmm. And I get where people are coming from when they say they're upset that he, you know, when people who are from the military who have served the country and they are upset about it because that means a lot to them and it's very important to them that we respect the country and we respect, like, people who are fighting for us and things like that. And so I'm very torn, and I'm hoping I can, like, sit in here and we'll have a big discussion and I'll come out with better ideas of really how I feel about this. And, you know, just thinking about whether someone in that kind of position should be doing something like this, because I'm not sure.
I mean, when I heard about it, my dad was the one who told me because he's, like, the big sports buff in my house. I'm like, oh, okay, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really see that big of a deal about it, and it didn't really affect me in any way. It's not like he was doing anything that actually hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. I guess I can understand what Reed's saying is, like, how it would offend some people, like military or military men and those who have, like, risked their lives for our country and are, like, incredibly patriotic. Like, I can understand why it would offend them, but at the same time, they fought to defend those rights to protest.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Defend those rights and also
including the right to protest.
And his they're also kind of missing the whole issue where he's protesting about, where he's talking about police violence and brutality against people.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have anyone to defend and to protect. And what's the point of that if you're protecting, like, kind of a corrupt system?
When I found out about this, it was through, like, entertainment news or something like that. But anyway, they, like, not only they also said not only did he, like, refuse to stand, but he also wore socks that were more to the point of what he was protesting. It had police officers or, like, pigs wearing police hats.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of it's more on the ball of what he's, like, protesting.
Well, the question to me is then, how do we define patriotism? What is patriotism? And I throw that out there to you.
That is a very tricky question.
I think a lot of people.
Let's go around.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would think of patriotism as, you know, always loving the flag and, you know, singing the national anthem with pride and, you know, breaking the law to celebrate 4th of July with fireworks, because what's more patriotic than being a rebel and breaking the laws?
Yeah,
not breaking the laws.
Some throwing of my some family in the members.
Mm-hmm. I think that's part of it, but I think another element of being patriotic about your country and really caring about your country is when you see an issue like this or when you see problems in your country that it is your duty or you should feel responsible to point them out. Because that's kind of how our country was founded. People didn't like how things were going, and so they got some change going. And maybe, you know, violence isn't the correct way to go about it, but they fought mm-hmm. for protesting, and protesting is one of our rights.
Mm-hmm.
I think patriotism isn't necessarily, like, running around with a flag screaming, I love America, but I think it's respecting the ideals that your country was founded upon and upholding them. And I think for American patriotism, it's, to me, being a patriot is exercising those rights that you were given by the Bill of Rights. Like, it's exercising the right to free speech and assembly and press and to protest and to bear arms. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole nother can of worms. We've done the talk already. So I think that patriotism is embracing the rights you have and not trying to limit those of others just because you don't like what they're saying with them.
Okay. Same thing. I think patriotism is using your rights. And, like, while you may not be in favor of the current state of your country, you want to work to improve that without getting into, like, major violence and hurting that country.
Is there a particular way that we express our patriotism that is acceptable?
Well, I think widely acceptable. It's like celebrating our patriotism and, you know, showing our patriotism is what I mentioned, where it's like, you know, celebrating 4th of July and, you know, like having a flag in front of your house, things like that. Like, I think for a lot of people, that's what shows patriotism, not like I think a lot of people don't really think of, oh, like I'm going to celebrate my patriotism and go vote.
Uh-huh.
You know, okay. Like a lot of people I feel don't think of that. They think of patriotism, fireworks.
Go vote, guys. That's important.
It's well, kind of too late for that. Yeah, but kind for of other, okay. Just vote for all your
the
elections.
The 2-year yeah. elections when we're taking care of who's in Congress, now that will be important.
That's important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
No,
yes.
Definitely.
All elections are important.
But that
exercising your civic responsibilities, taking part in government at all levels, local, state, mm-hmm. national, be a big part. Know who you're voting for. Don't put somebody bad in charge. But yeah, really understanding what your rights are and going about, if you are upset about something and you want to protest, going about it in a way that is responsible and will not cause problems for people who are not directly like who you are combating against. Like there are other civilians, other people who are trying to go about their lives and they don't want to get caught in the line of fire. For whatever
okay.
reason,
you're thinking like blocking the bridge.
Yeah, blocking roads. People who are trying to get to work, or maybe they're just public servants like EMS or anything like that, or they're just trying to go about their own lives, and you're kind of causing a big commotion.
And something that a lot of people don't think about is a lot of like organized protests. They actually will get permits to
yes,
so like you know if they're marching down the road or something. Like I was involved with
The women's march.
The women's march that happened. I was involved with that, and we had the permit to go and march down the street and take that.
Yeah, that would be the correct way to go about it. Yeah.
And then people after that, you know, a lot of people turned around, like from our final location, they turned around and continued the march to the Capitol. But they were safe about it because they were using the sidewalks is the thing.
Uh-huh.
So
okay.
they kept it safe by not, obstructing traffic or anything like that. They kept to the sidewalks. They waited for traffic lights and crosswalks and things like
uh-huh.
that to cross.
Okay.
And it was really safe, even though we had a lot of people. Let's not get into that, but there was a lot of people being jerks about other people okay. turning around. And even though they were being safe, you know, we were still exercising our right to protest. And being safe about it, not mm-hmm. obstructing traffic, anything okay. like that. But people were upset that we were protesting, which mm-hmm. is one of our rights.
You tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a break, but we'll return shortly. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and we are talking about the debate over Kaepernick's actions, and it's raised some questions about what is patriotism. America was founded on political and religious dissent. So what's wrong with dissent? Don't you have a right to dissent?
Let's start with Connor.
I think you have more than a right to dissent. Mm-hmm. I think that one of America's main ideals is that when people are unhappy, they can express that opinion and do something about it. Like, the elections process is based on that philosophy by, I think it was Thomas Locke. Mm-hmm. And he was like, revolution needs to happen every 10 years or government will get complacent. The reason that we have elections, it's a peaceful revolution where we take these people out of power and put new ones in.
Right.
And that's dissent is we use our dissent to put the people in power who do what we want, who will change things to be how we want. And so it's like, for example, some of us might not be happy with who's currently heading our government right now. There is some major dissent about that. But
right.
it's within our rights to protest that dissent and do what we can to still, you know, make ourselves heard in a situation where we might feel powerless.
Okay. I think dissent is important within our country
mm-hmm.
because it's actually the First Amendment when you think about it.
And it's what we were founded on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the point.
We were mad we were being taxed for our tea without us getting a say in it.
The big thing people are missing when there are things like Kaepernick and people protesting for issues, whether they're Black Lives Matter or anything like that, where it's, you know, human lives at stake. This is a reaction. Something caused this, and people are clearly acting out and causing dissent because they think there's an issue here. And they want to be heard. Everybody wants to know that their issues and that what they're bringing forth and what they're saying is being heard. Savannah, yeah.
Something else we have to think about is a lot of the people that are, you know, getting upset about this are people that are getting upset because of, like, they don't like what he's protesting also. You know, people are like, oh, he's protesting? Oh, he's protesting police brutality? Well, that's not really a problem because I've never, like, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah, would they be upset about him protesting about this if it was a different issue?
Mm-hmm. My thing is, one of the reasons I know they've been protesting is that they feel that they don't stand for the American National Anthem because some of them have said that they don't feel like America stands for them. And exactly. That's the whole logic behind this this form of protest they've chosen. And when it comes to police brutality, it is a thing. There are numbers to back it up. Just because you haven't personally experienced it doesn't mean anything. It might depend on your location, on your race, on your gender, on all these different factors, on what cops you have in your neighborhood.
Right.
And
yeah, I think, like, the biggest outlash against, like, his form, like, what he's protesting is, again, like, a certain part of America, like, whites and or people who may not be in an area where this is as common, like, they don't really care about it. So they're protesting it because they just see it as pointless. It's like him like, to them, it's him protesting just something that they don't never happens to them.
Right. Well, can one be... Did you have a comment? Go right ahead.
It's like, I think... But it's like, at the same time as well, I agree that police brutality is a thing that needs to be addressed. I don't necessarily agree with the Black Lives Matter movement because I think all lives matter. And I don't mean that in, like, the sarcastic way that those movements tend to get mad at. I mean, everyone's life matters and no one matters more than each other.
Well, see, that's not what Black Lives Matter is.
No.
Yeah, it's just
you
like,
got the wrong idea altogether.
That's
a whole different thing.
Yeah, but,
and we'll have to come back.
Yeah, we'll have to come back with that.
That seems like how it's advertised a lot of the time.
That's how it's advertised by Republicans.
Oh, part of the misunderstanding. But let's move on from this.
And that's why we had this, to discuss.
They say the same thing about feminism, you know, is that that's just, oh, it's just women trying to get more in power.
Let's move on. I know I do want to talk about this, but we have to come back.
We'll have to do a program on this alone.
Yeah.
Can one be patriotic and see the good, the bad, and the ugly?
Yes,
definitely.
I think it's the most patriotic people that do that.
Yeah.
I
consider myself, you know, like, well, I want to consider myself my definition of patriotic because my definition of patriotic comes from my family where it's like celebrating the 4th of July all with fire, you know, like the really like
the stereotypical
redneck.
Stereotypical American.
Yeah, that's how, like, I define patriotism. But I think that, you know, because me, I see the good, the bad, and the ugly in this country, and I still consider myself an American. Like, I don't try to distance myself from what I am. I am an American. Mm-hmm. I am most of the time proud of that.
I think that's
not lately, but
very big part of being an American. I think if you care about something, you shouldn't just turn a blind eye to a problem. You don't just ignore something bad that's going on. You have to confront it. You have to face the problem, and you have to think about how you go about fixing the problem because you care about something.
You have to educate yourself, and you have to educate others, and you need to spread these not necessarily like in the unpleasant way, but if you have a part of being an American is making yourself known, making your ideals known, making this is how I stand, and I want to know who stands with me and how we can make things better for everyone.
Okay. Yeah, a patriot should see all, like, the good and bad and the ugly, because that means they're saying this is what I like, this is what seems wrong to me and what I need to change so that I can enjoy all of it.
Yeah, because if you really are a patriot, you should want the best for your country, no matter what, and getting the best for your country also means acknowledging the bad and the ugly, and so not just acknowledging it, but trying to fix it and do something transformative.
You can't fix anything if you refuse to realize there's a problem.
Well, is this the land of the free?
It's supposed to be.
In some ways.
You're free to be upset until someone doesn't like what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's good.
And, you this know, isn't you're,
an well, that goes sorry. That goes both ways. Mm-hmm. We are obviously upset with Donald Trump and what he's saying. He's obviously upset with what we're saying for some things. So you are – that's for everybody. You are allowed to say what you want to say, but you cannot control how other people are going to react. You just have to have an appropriate response to other people's reactions both ways.
You have to go with the motto that, yes, everybody is free, like has the freedom of speech. They can express your own – you can express your opinion. They can express theirs. But you also have to know that just because you can express their opinion doesn't mean that they can't express their opinion about yours.
Mm-hmm.
We need good discourse.
I think the important role of expressing your opinion is there are many ways to express your opinion, and the opinion itself might not be something you agree with, but you need to express your opinion in the best way.
Okay. Yeah, by land of the free,
I think
you mean that like we're able to talk openly about how we feel and we don't have to really hide in fear of it openly about like what our beliefs are just as in general. In some cases this is kind of not so much the land of the free.
Like I'm free to reblog memes that are making fun of Donald Trump and I can't be arrested for that like in other countries. like that guy in Egypt who like put a thing on Facebook where he like put the prime minister with Mickey Mouse ears and got arrested for it.
So Syria, stuff like that.
It was Egypt, I think.
Yeah.
Well, do you think that Kaepernick actually thumbed his nose at America because he didn't join in a patriotic ritual that's been a fixture in the sporting events for years?
I'm not sure what thumbing your nose means.
Thumbing your nose means going, disrespecting it and denying it.
You know how like disrespect it. Just stick out their tongues?
It's basically like Connor's.
I don't think he meant to show disrespect. I think he definitely meant to show that he is upset and he's trying to show that he is upset. But the way you can interpret it several ways, though, depending on where you stand or how you see things in your own ideals. I think that people should think about, more than just your initial reaction that, oh, he's just trying to disrespect America. Maybe he's trying to do a little bit more than just, that on the surface.
I don't see how someone can view it as thumbing their nose as America if he's exercising one of his rights as an American to protest, to do this in the first place.
Because that's an American ritual.
Pledge of Allegiance. Something I think that's sort of a cult-like ritual.
They've taken the Pledge of Allegiance out of a lot of schools.
Yeah, I personally find...
we don't do it at Sale.
Yeah, I personally find, being forced to stand for the National Anthem or, say the Pledge of Allegiance every day, I find those kind of cult-like. Like, that's stuff that you see in the movies for cults. It's like where...
don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, everybody chanting, standing at salute all at once. We're all saying the same thing.
Yeah, it's...
Pledge allegiance.
Which they only added under God in the 60s for the Red Scare and,
Do you think the government can mandate patriotism?
No.
Not unless they want to get rid of the First Amendment.
Not unless they want to get rid of patriotism.
They would like to, probably, some people, but...
Patriotism isn't necessarily just an American thing. Like, patriotism
No, we're talking about it here. We're talking about it here.
Go ahead. I feel like if they were to start, mandating patriotism, that's the exact opposite of what American patriotism is, which is, this whole sense of individuality and being able to do what you want and this feeling, the sense of, your own freedom.
You know, when I think of Kaepernick, I have to tell you, I think of Muhammad Ali. And at his death, he was heralded as an American hero. Yet there was one point in his life where he was the most hated dissident.
Wasn't it because he refused to go to Vietnam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was a religious objector, right?
Right.
Right, no one likes
him. I thought he was pretty awesome for doing that.
Right.
Because he's standing up for religious rights, political rights,
and
all
that.
He was hated,
he was vile, and then when he died.
Nobody loves you until you die.
Is that what it is?
People will tell you to F off to your face until you die, and they will show up at your funeral and say the nicest things about
and then,
you.
Yeah, they'll love you because after you die, you can't do anything that they can disagree with anymore.
I never hated him. Actually, even though I didn't
watch
any of his...
Well, it was at the time.
Yeah, different times.
Different times. Different times. Society, different culture.
Yeah, but I understand why a lot of people would hate him. But he, even, excluding political stuff, is somebody who should be, admired just for how hard he worked.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And the fact that he is in a comic book where he ends up beating Superman.
Didn't know about that one.
We talk about the good, the bad, and
the
ugly.
It has the Beatles in it.
What about slavery?
Sorry.
Now, you know, that's one of those subjects that we tiptoe around and we try to deny it. But what about oppression? What about the genocide of Native Americans? I mean, this all happened here in
that's
America.
That's all a part of our culture.
And I
think that's the ugly.
Very important. I think that we acknowledge
it.
Yes, we acknowledge it and that we have discussions and that we talk about it.
And we're properly educated on it and not told that,
the pilgrims,
the slaves came over to help. Like, they came over to help us. And, because that's the thing that they tell kindergartners now in their history books is like, okay, yes, the slaves came over and they were helping us. And, they make it seem like, it was a willing thing.
Mm-hmm. I think
they were happy. Yeah. The Indians met after the pilgrims came, the Mayflower, and they had dinner together and everything was hunky-dory.
Right.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest problems of American culture is that if you have any bad thoughts or you can't talk about this because if you have any bad thoughts or you think anything bad or anything, you are immediately a bad person. Oh, no, I don't do this because then that means I'm evil and there's no saving me and there's no help or anything.
Yes.
But we need to have discussions about these issues. We need to talk about them and put them on the table.
America does have a very black and white version.
Yeah, where it's not necessarily
just black and white.
It's more, of a gray.
Gray. It's a lot of gray.
Yeah, there are gray spaces.
Well, do you feel America protects and cares for all?
No.
I think it should, but
it should, but it doesn't.
Should, but it doesn't. I mean, for example, how this new Supreme Court nominee is anti-abortion, and I don't feel like that protects my rights as a woman at all. I am seriously, seriously frightened of Roe v. Wade being overturned and me losing the right to control what happens to my body.
I feel that too. And my great grandmother worked with Planned Parenthood when it first started up. I come from a long line of basically rebels because we can trace my family back to the Revolutionary War. Let's not get me started on that relative.
I have an ancestor that signed the Declaration of Independence. I understand.
Yeah, and so hearing things like this and seeing what's going on now, coming from especially knowing my family's history and all, it makes me very upset. It's just really considering all of everything that's going on, all these things that my family has had a part in, and I feel like it's just going in the toilet.
What was the question again?
we
started talking about American
ancestors. We were talking about do we protect and care for all? That was
No.
We try to sometimes, but sometimes, depending on, what other threats are there, we just, say we can't protect you guys because, you may be maybe some of you are the threat. Not all of you, but some of you. That's what some people are saying.
Yeah.
The majority protects the majority.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to point out with the immigration ban, all seven countries that have been restrictions placed upon.
They took no parts in the 9/11 attacks.
Not a single one of them has had a terrorist or any refugee arrested for terrorism in the U.S. that has resulted in any sort of death of an American citizen. There have been a few who have been arrested in connection with, plots, but maybe it's, one or two or three, tops. And not a single one of them was involved in the 9/11 attacks. It was two Egyptians and 15 Saudi Arabians.
Yeah. And then there's also, you know, with our, you know, do we protect our people? Do we care for our people? You know, we're so worried about all.
Not looking at the inside.
Yeah, we don't even take care of our own people. Putting like racism everything aside, like let's look at our elderly. Like we don't take care of our elderly. They Medicare, Medicaid. Mm-hmm. I always forget which one it is for.
It's Medicare.
Okay, Medicare. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Medicare barely covers anything. We don't even take care of our own veterans. Blue Cross and Blue Cross Blue Shield is barely accepted in any doctor's offices. You know, most pharmacies won't accept that insurance anymore because it's a government insurance. You get almost no money from it. They'll get almost no money from it.
This morning for a project in my externship class, which is like an adult skills class, I was looking up nursing because we were supposed to find an article about nursing or like a future career path we're interested in. And I want to go into ER nursing later. And I was looking it up, and like half the stuff I found was like all these nursing homes being like found guilty of like these awful inhumane practices and just like bad care and just like, what's the word for you're not
malpractice?
Malpractice and like not paying attention,
negligence, neglect,
and all these things. And they're all being shut down. I'm like, these are our grandmothers, our grandfathers, our mothers, our fathers. And it's like, you're taking a horrible care of them. You're just dumping them in a crappy old folks home and leaving them to die. And that's awful.
And that's what a lot of people want to do. They just don't want to feel – they don't feel like taking care of people anymore. And so they leave them with people that are just there for the paycheck that
and
they don't have any care.
It's also our culture.
My granddad
it depends
lives
on the culture. Yeah. A lot yeah. depends on the culture.
A lot of cultures. Just,
you know, they revere their elderly.
Yeah. They're
you know,
taking care
so it
by
depends
family.
On where – that's right. It depends on where you are. Well, hold your thoughts for a moment. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we will get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. We are talking about patriotism. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I have students from Sale High School. I welcome, again, Savannah Burris, Reed Worrell, Connor Mock, and Gavin Dunsby. What is patriotism? Is patriotism earned, or is it owed?
Ooh. That's a good question.
How do
this
you...
This is a fun can of worms.
Yeah, that's owed exactly.
Like, how do you earn patriotism, but how are you owed patriotism, you know?
I mean, it's just a thing.
I don't know, you don't owe patriotism.
It feels like
because
asking
do
if
you
I
owe
earn
it just because you are an American
macaroni.
And you live in this
you're
country
no.
and supposedly you have all these rights?
No,
I'm just asking.
You don't, because in some cases, especially with minorities, you're continually oppressed and like being upon, so that way you don't feel like you have these rights.
You can also
you
lose
pay?
Them.
I mean, in some cases, they are earned. Like, felons have some of their rights taken away. Like, isn't it true that, like, felons lose, like, to
oh, yeah,
to vote?
They do.
Which
yeah.
is a stupid right in itself.
Did you just say voting is a stupid
no,
right?
No, I think he means that felons lose.
Yeah, that's what
the
I meant.
Fact that,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, voting is important.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like
everyone
felons lose the right to vote, and they, like, lose other things. I don't know. I don't have many felons in my family.
Okay. There's a lot of things that you lose depending on your type of felony and like
misdemeanor charges.
Okay. The basic things that you lose are the right to vote, the right to own a firearm, and depending on your state, some felons end up not being able to live within so many feet of a school, no matter what your crime is, if it's a sex crime or you know, drugs,
so
anything like that.
The original
some felons
question.
Can't even visit their own mother if they live in an apartment because of like house of like apartment laws saying that no
That's
felons
true.
Can live there.
Yeah,
original
you can't have
question.
To
though.
Do.
Back to
the original question.
Well, this is
sorry.
Part of it.
Oh, sorry, it just feels off topic.
So I guess in some ways it's earned, but in some ways you're owed it, because like some of it is just like basic human decency. And some of it is like, okay, if you do this, you don't get this.
Yeah.
Yeah, where we draw the line is really
important.
That's
it. Some states, you can earn, like, if you are a felon, you can earn your rights back. Like, if you go, like, so many years, if you can...
But earning rights back, we're talking about... being patriotic.
Patriotic, yes. Okay. So this is kind of a...
That's a little sidebar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My dad is a huge patriot, and he is a felon, but he is a huge believer in America, and he's a Trump supporter, and he considers himself a huge patriot, and going to prison hasn't changed any of that.
Okay.
So patriotism, earned or owed.
So is that like... are we owed it, or do we owe it to the country?
Do we owe it to the country?
In some instances,
I believe in some way it's owed as an institution of, like, our forefathers put so much work into making this, and it's, like, it's survived for hundreds of years based on the blood of so many people. So I feel like in some ways it's owed, but in some ways I am a firm believer in the concept that respect is to be earned. Trust
but then that
is
gets
to
back
earned.
To what is it? When we say it's owed, what is it? Is it, you know, standing with your hand across your heart and during the
what
Pledge of Allegiance?
What does it mean? How do you define it? And if that's it, then he is obviously disrespectful.
Right.
See, if you
but
view it like
it's
that. So there are many parts to it.
Yeah. But if
you can't just boil it down.
Patriotism is practicing your rights, then he owes it to – then if we're talking about do we owe it to the country, then he would owe it to the country to practice his right to protest on something that he thinks he needs to protest. Like – Three of us from Sale here are 18. So in the next election, to be patriotic by, you know, this definition, we owe it to the country to vote.
To voice our opinion.
That's three of us.
Three of us, not you.
Next election.
Yeah.
I think I'll probably be old enough.
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
How old are you?
14.
Okay,
you might be. Yeah, you'll be
so, older. Yeah, ideally, everybody would...
Not for the next election, but for the next
president.
Next president.
But yes, ideally, everybody would do their patriotic duty, take part in the civic discourse, and vote, protest if they feel that there's a problem, voice their opinion for whatever reason or anything like that, and take part, but...
I feel like a lot of the reason that... Like,
ultimately,
apathy has increased in voters and that sort of thing, though, lately, is that they feel like that even if they vote and do these things, they're not going to be heard.
Well, yeah, what's the difference of owing?
That happened.
I understand from some people where it's like, you know, working within the system doesn't always feel like that's a good way to affect change, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, I went out and voted. I called my local representatives. I did my duty. Let's go home, everybody. Things will change. But sometimes when a person in power, like Donald Trump, for example, there are people who are just not going to listen to what you say. Some people are just not going to care whatever you have to say, and they're just going to ignore you.
And so, I mean, in the case of this latest election, I can understand that feeling a lot because, I mean, Trump lost the popular vote. He lost by, like, what was it? Like, 1 to 5 million.
Yeah, it was, like,
votes.
A big margin.
It was a huge margin. But he won the Electoral College. So I can feel – I can understand, like, especially in this election where people feel like no
the
one
hope,
listened
yeah,
to
the
me.
The sense of
because
hopelessness
of,
when exercising your rights.
Because
there's nothing that we can do now.
Yeah,
He's signing these orders. He's making a big fuss.
According to the popular vote, Hillary Clinton was our next president, not Donald Trump. And it just goes back to what you're saying, that people feel powerless because they understand how this works. You know, that, okay, I go and I cast my vote, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
What do you do when you're living and you are part of a corrupt system that's going on, even if you exercise your
right.
When you exercise your patriotic rights, the rights that you are owed, it's not working.
Let me pose another question.
New question,
When we're talking about standing for the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance, are we telling marginalized people to sit down unless a special song or allegiance or oath written by a slave owner is playing?
I hope not.
I don't think him being a slave owner has anything to do with it.
Well, it goes towards just like this was obviously not even like meant for us because, you know, he didn't feel like...
They didn't think about people weren't even considered actual humans back then.
Yeah.
You were just considered property.
Yeah.
And it wasn't written with you in mind.
I guess I can understand that, but it wasn't written with half the people in mind. It wasn't written with women in mind. It wasn't written...
Well, that applies to women.
Who weren't white landowning males in mind.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's why so many people, like, that there's
like,
also...
Like, if that's such a big problem, why don't we just get a new national anthem?
That's the thing, is that's been the debate for a while, is, you know, a new national anthem, a new pledge of allegiance because...
To represent a new country of people, new ideals, mm-hmm. new culture.
But you have so many old white males, basically.
We wouldn't be the first country to have changed
so
our
then,
national anthem.
So then, if we are going to
we
make
like
America great again, we're talking about not for blacks, not for Latinos, not for Native Americans, not for LGBTQ.
Not for anybody who is not the straight white male.
Straight white cis male landowning. Okay.
But you have to be religious.
And Christian.
But you have to have the right religion. The right religion.
Yeah.
The right ideology. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to want to build the wall.
Preferably Protestant, because they didn't like the Catholics back then.
Yeah.
My mom's a Catholic, though.
So what's your...
I just wondered, are we, you know...
That's Make America Great Again seems to only be making it great for straight white males.
Make it great for who?
Who apparently have trouble keeping a job.
Is when we talk about this behavior, we look at Kaepernick and what he did, and I think we kind of touched on this before, but is it really an insult to military service members to whom, you know, I guess honoring the flag is sacrosanct? I mean, is it?
I see why they would see it as an insult. I don't think he intended it as an insult, but it's one of those issues that needs to be handled very delicately and very carefully in how you present it, because this is an important issue because people have fought for us. People have died for us. Mm-hmm. People have fought so we can keep our rights.
So we have
our patriotism, and so we can live our lives like the way we do. And so we do need to respect them, but we do need to be careful in the way that we're protesting and the format that we're doing it and how we voice our opinions.
Savannah?
And I feel like a lot of the people that are saying, oh, well, if it offends the military, people who served in the military, like, I feel like a lot of them that are saying that maybe haven't ever been in the military and aren't asking opinions of people that have been. Because, you know, like we're saying, is that they went and they fought for our country to defend our rights, is that, and that, like, I find that a lot of people that have served in the military understand that a lot more than other people. Like, my grandparents three of my grandparents were in the Navy. Okay, I have a cousin who was a Marine, and, you know, all of them are like, whatever, that's his right to protest.
Oh, okay. Yes, go ahead.
I actually saw something like the whole military discussion and the whole Kaepernick protest once, and I remember watching, like, a part of it had a video of a veteran saying how she supported this because that's what she fought for, like, the right to protest, right to express yourself, stuff like that.
Okay.
But it's kind of the way they're upset with the way he's going about doing it, you know. Even if you are protesting, I get what where they're coming from when they say this is not the correct place during the national anthem.
Yeah.
But it's also, I think, he's in a position where he can influence and his voice can be heard by many people. So I think maybe it's a good choice of his to also use his position to speak out about problems.
I mean, the national anthem, let me just throw this in there. The national anthem, when you think about it, back during the Olympics, it was, what was his name? John Carlos and the other sprinter, and I can't think of his name right now, but they held their hands, their fist-gloved hands, up in the Black Power salute while they were standing on the medal stand. That was before your time, but that's what happened. And they were expelled. The gold medal gymnast, this just happened recently, this past summer, okay, at the Olympics. Gabby Douglas was lambasted on social media for not placing her hand on her heart while the anthem played at the Rio Olympics, okay? Yeah. And she explained that she was from a military family and that she had learned to stand with her arms at her side.
Yeah.
So
it's not like she can't be right. It was like the exact opposite.
You get my point?
Whatever you do, is always...
Yeah. Is there an acceptable disagreement or a way to dissent?
Is almost always never an acceptable way. Because especially in the time that we're living in now, anyone can find you. Anyone can yell at you from the internet. And it's really just how you carry yourself and how you respond and how you handle it, which is what people are going to notice. But...
Yeah.
There's almost no acceptable way.
Yeah, that's acceptable.
You've just got to think about it a lot and hope. You've got to be okay with yourself. You've got to ask yourself, am I okay? Because people are going to look at me.
Yeah.
Can you hold up your decisions to yourself and can you respect them?
What does this – now, really, what does this country stand for? What does it represent?
What do we want it to stand for?
I didn't say what do we want it to stand for.
What does it stand for?
What does it stand for? What does it currently stand for?
That's how you interpret the question. What do you say?
I mean, currently, to me, it stands for a bunch of...
Put this a good way.
Yes, that's why I'm hesitating.
Format this correctly.
That's why I'm
why don't we come back to
Let's
Connor
go around.
Then.
Let's start with Savannah.
Give me a moment.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So to me, right now, this country stands for the minority of the people, which would be currently the minority in this country. First of all, there are way more people of color in this country than there are white people. There are way more women in this country than there are men. So to me, this country stands for the minority of white males.
Okay.
Currently, a lot of the times it really seems like the country stands for a lot of hate and a lot of racism and bigotry and xenophobia. But I hope that one day, and I hope that it will stand for, equality, fairness to all. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And when I meet Thomas Jefferson, what? I include him too.
But, sorry, we started talking about Hamilton. I had to bring that up. But I want it
really
to stand
to
for that,
that
we're all treated fairly and that we don't have a corrupt government and we don't have... a society of oppression that's built in so that it can oppress and keep people down. And I hope that one day we get there.
Okay.
Currently, for me, this country stands for hard-headedness and childishness.
Okay.
And I hope that one day I live in a country where it is open and receptive and takes criticism and does things with it and is not so caught up in its own petty little minds that it gets something done.
To me, it sounds like right now with our government stands for like bigotry, intolerance, and excluding like the military, a bit of cowardice. Because we're taking all of these precautions for like – or even banning people from places where – like, the threats are pretty small. That's not really being a brave person. It's being a coward.
I'm really small. Just
well, should we then avoid uncomfortable truths?
No.
Not
we need to acknowledge
the
them. We need to talk about them.
The only way to fix these truths is to look them in the eye and make them happen. Or make it better. You can't fix a problem before you acknowledge it's there. If your sink is leaking and you look at your sink and go, oh, it's not leaking, it's fine, as it's just guzzling water out, your water bill is going up, you're going to get water mold.
A bigger problem when you start talking about, oh, I don't see color, oh, I don't see this, I don't see that.
I mean, that's what makes us, differences.
Yeah, exactly. You need to acknowledge them and we need to have a big, frank, open discussion about them. And even if you have bad thoughts, you need to acknowledge them and find out where they're coming from and start to adjust and help yourself so you can become a better person. Just because you think bad thoughts does not mean you are a bad person. It's how you act upon them and it's what you do about them.
It's not the first thought that matters the most. It's the thought that comes immediately after. It's like, what did you think of that thought you just immediately had? It's the impulse versus the actual reaction.
Okay.
Because society has taught you you yourself has taught you your second.
Last question, because we only have a minute or so left. Is patriotism harmful to democracy?
Let's go around really quick.
Yes.
I think it can be harmful to democracy because you have people that maybe are trying to change the way things are, and then you have patriots that could get in the way of changing things for the better.
Yeah, same kind of question. I think we're all going to have similar responses where it can be, depending on the way it goes. But I hope that it doesn't get in the way of democracy. I would like it not to.
Quickly, quickly.
Don't let yourself be so blinded by the things that you love that you can't see ways to improve them.
Yeah, it can affect it because some people, like, they when they see people trying to use democracy to make things better, they don't like that.
Okay. To my listening audience, thank you for listening. Thanks for the privilege of your time. That's it for this edition of 411 Team. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.